The reading this morning is the poem that inspired this service, A Summer's Day by Mary Oliver. The worship committee made the choice to use this poem as inspiration before her death. We had no idea that her death was imminent. She died just over a week ago. She was a Pulitzer Prize winner, and the New Yorker called her America's most beloved poet. And she was particularly popular with Unitarian Universalists. She'll read her poem. You'll hear her poem in her own voice this morning.
Summer day. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?
Mary Oliver asks us all a question at the end of her poem. What is it that you plan to do with your wild and precious life? What is it that you plan to do with your wild and precious life? I initially thought about that question isolated from the context of the poem. At the worship committee, it was discussed, just those lines were discussed without reference to the rest of the poem. But to deal with that question in isolation from the body of the work of Mary Oliver would have been a mistake. Much has been written about Mary Oliver's perspective on life by many Unitarian Universalist ministers. I found one very good article online by the Reverend Fred Hammond, the minister of the UU Church in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And I was delighted to find it because I consider Fred a personal friend. I got to know him when I was living in Columbus, Georgia, and when I was studying for the ministry in Atlanta. And so I'm happy to quote from his article. He wrote, "One possibility for Mary Oliver, being, as I have heard, the unofficial poet laureate of Unitarian Universalists, is that Mary Oliver is not afraid of the questions." So in coming up with the topic for today's sermon, I had the audacity to adapt the words of the poem to suit my very own limited perspective. And the words I used in the announcement for the order of services that had these words, "the rest of." What is it that you plan to do with the rest of your wild and precious life? Seemed to me at the time to be more appropriate title for a sermon that addressed this congregation. I mean, what is it that you plan to do with your one wild and precious life would be an appropriate question for our children and the youth that we had here. But some of us have already lived most of our life, and all we have is the rump end, the remnant, the rest of our life. But in the context of Mary Oliver's poetry, it's a mistake to view life that way. Mary Oliver's poetry speaks to us over and over again about living in the moment, observing the beauty of the natural world, and finding serenity in recognizing ourselves as part of that world. This emphasis on the present moment is crystallized in this excerpt from her poem, "One or Two Things." She writes, "The God of dirt came to me many times, and said so many wise and delectable things. I lay in the grass listening to his dog voice, his crow voice, his frog voice. Now, he said, and now, and never once mentioned forever. Mary Oliver's poem, The Summer Day, ends with this provocative question. Tell me, what is it that you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? But the poem begins with an equally provocative question. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. In her collection of essays, Long Life, Mary Oliver writes, what does it mean that the earth is so beautiful? And what shall I do about it? What is the gift that I should bring to the world? What is the life that I should live? The questions at the beginning and the end of the poem are inextricably linked. What does it mean that the earth is so beautiful? And what shall I do about it? Human beings are compelled to give meaning to our experience. When we look at a painting, when we regard a poem, we instinctively look for a meaning behind it. The lesson that I learned in high school English class, Miss Hebden, many years ago, I learned that it's much more important to understand the meaning that I give to a piece of literature than it is to understand what the author meant when they wrote the work. See, the meaning that I give to my experience will define who I am and what I become. And we don't find meaning in a piece of work. We give meaning to the art before us. Mary Oliver's poetry is about giving meaning to the natural world in which we find ourselves. And that process begins with careful observation of the world around us, as she demonstrates with her beautiful description of the grasshopper eating out of her hand. The cover of The Order of Service is a picture of someone's hand holding a grasshopper. I have vivid memories of doing that. And I digress here because Mary Oliver left something out. I don't know if everyone had this experience, but every grasshopper I ever held in my hand peed in my hand. Am I alone here? No, I'm like, not so.
We called it spitting tobacco.
I went online last night on YouTube, and there's a number of YouTube videos of grasshoppers in people's hands, and they invariably spit tobacco. So there's a lesson here, a line that wasn't explored by Mary Oliver, but I won't go down that path today. Save that for another sermon. There are a number of books written about Mary Oliver's poetry, one by Thomas Mann, and in his book, he quotes this passage from her essays. Now I think there is only one subject worth my attention, and that is the recognition of the spiritual side of the world, and within this recognition, the condition of my own spiritual state. This is Mary Oliver speaking. I'm not talking about having faith necessarily, although one hopes to. What I mean by spirituality is not theology, but attitude. Thomas Merton then responds with, the heart of natural spirituality is not what one thinks about God, but how one relates to the natural world as the realm of God. Made me think, What does it mean to be living in the realm of God? And for me, it means acknowledging the incredible beauty of the universe that we inhabit, the universe that we are a part of. A universe so majestic on the cosmic scale, so fine-grained and beautiful on the microscopic level, so consistent, so fundamentally simple, so perfect, so mysterious that the phrase, the realm of God, seems the only way to describe it. There are two fundamental ways we engage with the world, being and doing. Being is the natural state of the grasshopper, the wild animals, the lilies of the field. From Matthew chapter 6, verse 28 and 29 of the Christian scripture, some words on being. And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow, they do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Doing, on the other hand, involves our thought process, our cognition, our great gifts. It's a process that asks, what will I do? I find the answer to the question at the end of the poem. What is it that you plan to do with your wild and precious life? I find the answer to that question at the beginning of the poem. Who made this world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper and the unspoken? Who made me? We're a part of something much greater than we are as individuals. Before we can begin to answer the question of what we will do with the rest of our lives, we need to have an appreciation for our place in the natural world. What is our connection with the world around us? With the creatures and the plants and the animals and the other human beings on this planet? I mean, if you woke up tomorrow in a strange place, you wouldn't start to say, what will I do? Until you looked around to see where you were and what context you were in. Mary Oliver encourages us to do that every day. Look around at the natural world. The sense of profound connection is at the basis of spirituality. Mary Oliver captures the sentiment for us, letting us know that the flora and the fauna, in its wordless awareness, has a peace and a wholeness about life that we humans have somehow lost in our need to be doing. Our spirituality must not be an intellectual exercise separate from what we do in the world. Our spirituality is the basis for our fundamental connection with all that is. Before we decide what we'll do with our one wild and precious life, we first need to ground ourselves in an appreciation for and love for this amazing life, this amazing planet, this amazing universe. Mary Oliver says, what does it mean that the earth is so beautiful? And what shall I do about it? What is the gift that I should bring to the world? What is the life that I should live? She said, I got saved by the beauty of the world. What is it about Mary Oliver's poetry that speaks to us as Unitarian Universalists? It is perhaps that Mary Oliver is able to speak of our deep longing to be connected to the natural world and not separate from it. That perhaps there is indeed wisdom in the flora and the fauna of the earth that is more profound, more revealing about how we are to live and breathe our days here. I'd like to close with another of Mary Oliver's poems. She wrote, my work is loving the world. Here the sunflowers, there the hummingbird, equal seekers of sweetness. Here the quickening yeast, there the blue plums. Here the clam deep in the speckled sand. Are my boots old? Is my coat torn? Am I no longer young and still not half perfect? Let me keep my mind on what matters, which is my work, which is mostly standing still and becoming astonished. The Phoebe, the delphinium, the sheep in the pasture, and the pastor. What is mostly rejoicing since all the ingredients are here? Which is gratitude, to be given a mind and a heart and these body clothes, a mouth with which to give shouts of joy to the moth and the wren and the sleepy dug-up clam, telling them all over and over how it is that we live forever. For Mary Oliver, her plan, her work for the rest of her life was to love the world. It is our work, too. May it be so, and amen.